Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin, here with Dan Regester.
Ross, in the words of Nick Foles, I don't know if I'll ever comprehend what's going on.
And Dylan Shivery.
Hey, Billy, do we need to quarantine you, by the way?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
We don't have a glass box we can put him
no.
in, Micah.
No, this is it. You get to sit here and breathe the same air as me.
I don't like it.
Suck it up.
You're going to get the whole squad sick.
Dan, what does that quote mean? Why do you say that?
He just said it after we won the game.
He can't believe what's happening to his life.
Pretty
right
much,
now.
Yeah. That's how I feel with my sports teams in general.
So is he going to get a second chance at a big contract and
see,
a starting,
dude, I think he just
a starting
earned
role?
You don't think somebody will pay that
bag?
Guy?
They've tried that before and didn't work
think
out.
Think about how many bad quarterbacks there are, though.
I'm posing a question. That's all I'm doing.
I think you just point at Jeff Fisher and you blame Jeff,
that's all I'm doing.
Jeff Fisher.
Foles has the most bizarre upside downside of any quarterback I've ever seen. He can go from looking like literally the best QB in the league to utter trash in a matter of weeks.
Well, statistically, if you look at him, very good career. He's also a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Don't start this again. We
did
this once and we shot it down.
Yeah, he had 7 touchdowns in a game, most touchdowns in a game, tied with Peyton Manning in the Hall of Fame.
Which doesn't mean he's in the Hall of Fame.
Not how it works.
His jersey.
Already discussed it.
And football is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Dan. Dan.
Also former Pro Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
Anyway, even though I'm incapable of being happy for someone else when their sports teams are successful, congratulations, Dan.
I'm not going to say that.
I'm making the Super Bowl.
I'm losing a huge part of my identity with the Eagles being this good, UCF being this good.
You can't feel sorry for yourself right now.
No, it's over, dude. You can stop now. You can stop.
I mean, your
college team, that part of your identity is gone. You don't get to talk about how it's gone for like multiple seasons. You already talked about it during UCF football season. That's like me being like, oh, man. It's crazy. The Rockets are good. I'm so used to having bad teams. Like, I just won the World Series.
Yeah, man.
I just won the World Series.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I've got the trophy in my house.
I sold my soul to the devil, and it was totally worth it for this season. It was incredible.
Now you got Tom Brady.
Yeah, but the Patriots have never won a Super Bowl the same year Alabama's won a national championship.
Right, because that's a very meaningful
okay.
statistic.
Let's talk about the Pats-Jags first. Patriots come back, beat the Jags 24-20.
Poor Bobby.
Yeah, I mean...
This
Look,
is one of those.
This was the easiest thing to see coming.
This is
ever.
One of those. Yeah, everyone in the world who knows anything about sports knows that this was going to happen most likely.
Man, I'll be.
I was so deflated.
Let me recap how this went for me.
I was really pulling. For
I had
Jags
plus 9 heavy.
Had Jags plus 10 heavy. Had Jags plus 7.5 heavy.
We all picked. We all
and I even had Jags money line.
I had Jags money line sprinkled.
Me too.
And I was
along
happy,
with the parlay.
I was happy with the way things were going, but come the third quarter. I knew I was fucked on the money line bet. I knew the Pats were going to come back and win. But part of me in my head was like, all right,
they were down 10 going into the fourth quarter.
The fact that you think this, that you have this thought, maybe that means it'll offset, like it won't happen. Everybody's thinking it. Surely we can't all be right that the Pats are going to come back. Surely they can't do this again. And then they did. And I, even though I won money on the game short term, I was furious when the game was over. Like, I was sitting there fuming.
Oh, I was too, and the Eagles game didn't even start.
Like, I got into a fight with my wife, and then I had to apologize like 10 minutes later. I was like, I'm sorry, I really, really hate the Patriots. Like, I don't have I don't know how to explain it. I'm just so sick of watching the Patriots.
It was such a huge swing at the end of the first half where they convert the third down, but they call a delay a game. Then they have to punt with the clock running.
No, they didn't have to punt with the clock running.
Right.
What the hell was that?
I'm saying they had to punt and the clock was running and they decided to just not kill time.
They could have let the clock burn off like 16, 18 more seconds or whatever it was to get to the 2-minute warning.
And then they had that hit on Gronk, which I thought was actually the right play. Like, take out Gronk at all costs. Like, I'll take that 15-yarder every time.
Did you see Richard Sherman's tweet? He was like, what's he supposed to do there?
Go low. He's
go
a dirty
low.
Player.
You blow out Gronk's knees. Go high. You concuss him.
You go for the chest. That's what you do. What
but
do you mean?
The man is sideways. That's a very small window. You know what I'm saying?
It's who is sideways?
Gronk. He's like trying to make a catch in the air, going diagonal. It's.
I disagree with that completely.
I think
there's a huge zone between knees and dome.
Yeah, dude. But the argument
huge.
Over like, oh man, that's a dirty play. He should have made a hit like clean into the chest. Mm. It's fucking difficult. It's not if every like.
I was totally cool with that hit. You take out Gronk.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
And
worth the 15
yards.
It wasn't fine.
And
the pass interference, though, on A.J. Boye was just total bullshit.
A.J. Boye commits pass interference on every single play. But
not that
what,
play.
What would you rather have? Have to deal with Rob Gronkowski every single play?
Oh, I'm not. I'm
or
not
the
saying
15-yard penalty.
I'm not saying they don't. They don't take. They don't accept the result of that play.
Oh no, I
I'm
know.
Saying
I
that
know.
He could have. He could have gone chess if he wanted. If he really wanted to.
All right, but does that present an issue for the NFL where it's like, well, yeah, obviously we're going to try to concuss this guy. He's one of the more easily concussible players.
It's just 15 yards.
He's a massive target. I mean, it's 15 yards, and then you don't have to deal with that motherfucker
That's
anymore.
That's dirty, though, man. You can't play football like that.
What
Dude,
was the
report?
The NFL
is a dirty, dirty place.
Gronk was apparently on the sideline just being like, wow.
On the feet. He stood up and wow. They showed like a slow motion of his face or whatever. Wow. Like, wow.
Was he officially concussed? Is that a diagnosis?
God. Yeah, he was badly concussed. Like, I don't know if he'll be okay for next week.
It's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
plenty of time.
Surely he'll be
fine. Yeah, he'll be fine.
But then, of course, Jags get the ball back, take the knee, 55 seconds left, 2 timeouts.
Another questionable move. What the hell?
But, I mean, they come out in the third quarter to score.
No, but give me a reason why anybody should excuse them for making that
Where
decision.
Where do they get the ball? In the
Who cares? Like,
I mean,
in reasonable, like their own 30 or something. 25.
Yeah, 25 or 30, yeah.
I mean, you can – the you go to momentum the, was – kind of teetering back to New England at that point, and they just wanted to make sure nothing awful happened before the.
That's how you lose to the Patriots, though, man.
Maybe. Playing not.
Did you see
lose.
The Eagles? What the Eagles do? They got the same fucking situation at the end of the first half. They drove down the field and got points out of it, and continued to build on what they already had. Like that's the way you play the game. That would it just pissed me. I was in like 3 different text threads that were like, "Oh, here we go, Jacksonville playing scared." Fucking didn't even use their 2
even
timeouts.
Then, 20-10 in the fourth quarter. Miles Jack gets that strip, and which, by the way, he wasn't touched.
Oh, I thought it was over when that happened.
He wasn't touched. That should have been 7.
I thought it was over. When he made that play, I was like, damn, maybe the Jags really are going to pull this off.
Right?
And then within 5 minutes, I was like, damn, the Jags are not going to pull this
off. And
then
they got like weirdly not conservative, and they had Bortles throw like 3 straight plays, and then had to punt.
The very end of the first half, the rest of the game, was oddly coached by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, the NFL is such a weird league where so often you end up being able to point to a coach and being like, that was fucking stupid. So part of me just thinks maybe all the coaches are morons and there's just one smart guy and it's Belichick and he's just running everybody else into the ground.
Just doing laps around everybody else.
Maybe the rest of the coaches are just literally fucking idiots. Nobody else wants to work as a head coach in the NFL except stupid people.
Isn't it strange that everyone just knows how the game is going to end, like in the first?
So
second,
depressing,
third
man.
It's so weird how that works out. He has Brady and Belichick, who the Patriots
but, well, okay.
in general just
this
have the quality
happens.
About him.
Yeah, this only happens with the Pats.
It's really strange. Like, I mean, one huge play goes the other way, and they can the Jags steal the game, but you know it's not going to fucking happen.
But they were still down 2 scores with like what 8 minutes left, 7 minutes left.
It's an incredible thing the Patriots have developed where even when something like the strip play happens to them, you don't see it just doesn't work the same way as it would against other teams. That might have buried another team. It just doesn't matter.
But it was a little different where, like, I don't think the Patriots usually go to their bag of tricks to, like, pull off a win. They usually just kind of, like, run their normal offense. They're throwing the kitchen sink at the Jags to win this game. Like the flea flicker.
I didn't feel that way. I really didn't. I just felt like they just did what they do and won. And they had Jacksonville scared.
There was 2 trick plays that the Patriots don't normally run.
The flea flicker is just a fucking
they had a,
modified
they had a,
run.
They had a
pass.
They had a double pass, like across.
Oh, yeah,
the
that was tight.
Yeah, where Miles Jack got that strip.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that mean? Like, the Jags deserve more credit than everyone else who lost?
No, I'm just saying.
Because they caused them to do trick plays?
It was not normal for, like, a Belichick coach team to, like, have to dig deep into it, their playbook and pull that kind of stuff out.
I don't know. I also think the one thing that I feel like the Jags defense was overrated after all this, when it's all said and done.
No, they played their dicks off.
Man, they played against New England.
Brady's 40 years old, man.
He's still fucking good.
He just carves. It's sick.
And for whatever reason, they're really bad at the end of the half. Like, they always give up points at the end of the half.
I can't believe we got to watch this motherfucker play in the Super Bowl again. I can't believe it. Every goddamn year.
He's made the Super Bowl in 50% of his seasons.
Where he's healthy, yeah. And I think the last 14...
What? That's not how it's supposed to work. The NFL is supposed to be a league of parity, well, and there's just one team just kicking the shit out of everybody.
Is this his 7th or 8th Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's crazy. 8th.
And 14 of the last 15 Super Bowls in the AFC have either had Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger.
I thought this was his 10th Super Bowl.
No, this is 8th.
No.
The franchise is 10th. Okay. Yeah, I saw some stupid Instagram about how Brady was getting another finger surgically attached to his hand for more Super Bowl appearances or some shit. I don't remember what it was, but
that's obnoxious.
Well, when that tweet came out that he had like 10 stitches in his hand right before game time, I was like, I just put more money on the Jags plus 7.5.
It was actually 12 stitches.
Which was a good 12 stitches. All right. Well, it was a good bet.
How did he cut his hand, by the way?
During a handoff, allegedly.
I thought he hit somebody's helmet on a throw in practice.
No. Supposedly a handoff to Burkhead.
Fucking Burkhead.
Which makes no sense to me.
White running back. He says what I was told. Him.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard a lot of different theories about what could have happened to Brady's hand. Spent an inordinate amount of my life thinking about Brady's hand on Saturday especially. I'm ashamed of that. This motherfucker's hand.
Turns out it was fine.
He had like some black tape on it. I got to unfollow Bill Simmons. I can't do Bill Simmons in the Super Bowl again.
You say that every time we're in here. Unfollow him.
I can't
unfollow that motherfucker.
Just do it. Like, I feel like it's part of my job. I have to follow Bill Simmons. Like, I have to know what that little Bostonian fuck is doing.
He was tweeting about like, oh, the Jags deserve like some type of karma, bad karma after that Gronk hit. And then I think somebody quote tweeted and like just responded with the Gronk like hit on the
Bills
player.
Dropping his shoulder into a guy on the ground.
It's like, oh, is that not karma? Like,
also, let's be real. Gronk is one of the most easily injured players in the league. That was nothing about that hit screamed like, oh, fuck, this guy's going to get concussed.
What are you talking about? It was helmet to helmet.
The slow motion looked bad. It was clean helmet to helmet.
That's how you concuss
somebody. I've seen much, much worse in the NFL, though. Like, with head to ground contact, and as far as helmet to helmet go, it just didn't strike me as that severe.
I thought immediately, I'm like, oh, that he's going to at least get up woozy. He's going to see stars.
What else happened in that
game? Have you ever been concussed before?
Yes.
Have you?
I have no idea. I could be concussed right now.
I don't think I have.
It's probably why I can't form sentences.
That is so much CTE. Probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
He's got a tinge of CTE.
It's all up in my brain.
Anyway.
Jimmy Garoppolo got $135,000 in playoff bonuses from the Patriots. And that's not counting if they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if they win, he's just getting paid. What a time to be Jimmy G.
Is he signed with he's still free right now?
He's going to be a free agent, but the Niners are going to lock him down with big money.
God, they better.
He's undefeated.
They better.
In life and on the field.
This is the first game the Jags have lost where Bortles didn't turn the ball over.
Played well.
All right. I want opinions here. Dylan first. What do you think about Romo in the booth?
I enjoy Romo in the booth. I'm not a huge fan of him, but I do enjoy him. I do like how he kind of explains to, you know, the casual football fan like
what's
happening. Yeah, I enjoy that because it is a very complex game, and he has obviously a lot of insight. He's played the sport for a long time.
I saw a tweet from somebody that said watching a game with Tony Romo commentating is like watching a movie with somebody who's already seen the
ending. That's fair. And I can understand how it can be too much for somebody because he does maybe probably do it too much, but I actually enjoy it. Not that I don't understand the game, but it's cool to hear like insight from someone who actually knows what's going on because most people don't, let's be honest.
Dan, what? How do you feel about Romo in the booth?
Ooh.
That can't have been a good sound inside the listener's ears.
No. But that's what every other play, Tony Romo is like moaning or something, or like
he gets excited.
Off.
Out of all the shit, okay. So answer the question: how do you feel about him in the booth?
I could do without him.
The noises don't bother me. he gets a lot of heat for the noises. I don't really give a fuck about the noises. It's not the noises. It's the inability to let the game breathe and to shut up. Like, he just can't stop. And I get... I want to be clear about... I was a little more annoyed mid-game than I probably should have been listening to Romo. Just because I could tell how things were going to go, too. So it was, like, double the pain. But I do agree with you, Dylan, in that he has a great ability to explain plays and what's going on. And it was his first year, so you got to give him a little bit of time. And hopefully people will help coach him in the offseason to make him a better commentator. And I think that's how it works, you know. You got to learn as you go. It's not like you just are who you are and that's how it is permanently.
I think he's only good at, like, calling what he's seeing on the field before it happens because he's only a year removed from the game. I think as time goes on, he's not going to be able to do that.
He'll carry
it'll
that
probably,
knowledge with him.
It'll probably diminish a little bit.
Like the
but
game
I don't
will
think
pass him by.
Away. Well, we'll see. But I do agree that the most value, like, he just gets too excited. That's the thing.
He does. He gets too excited.
And I understand. And I appreciate that he has that kind of emotion for the game. But the thing is, nobody wants to watch the game with somebody who doesn't shut up the whole time. So he's got to learn how to, like, temper his excitement somewhat. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Our boy Mike has got something to say about it.
What's up?
I've got just a couple Romo takes. One, I think Romo has been very good this year. And in comparison, he makes Troy Aikman so boring and terrible. It's weird. Like, I feel like Troy has just been overshadowed by this guy who was, like, half as good a quarterback as he was for the same franchise and didn't ever win anything. And now he's the star and all the media people love him. And Troy's just this boring guy now. Next to Jack.
I enjoy Troy a lot.
Huh? Where's Troy work?
Fox.
Who's he do the games with?
Joe Buck.
Shit, I didn't even know he
They've been the top Fox team for like 16 years.
I liked
him
there for a while.
I think Troy's really good.
I just don't ever remember a time that Troy has ever added to my enjoyment or knowledge of football.
Yeah, but
he's
him
just
and,
there.
Him and Joe Buck kind of like are a good team. Like, because Joe Buck's never going to get too excited.
They're
about
fine. Yeah. And then my other thing with Romo is I think that Jim Nance is just a terrible partner for him because Nance, like, isn't funny at all and never gets, like, legitimately excited. I don't think they're a good match. I think Romo's excitement level and, like, giddiness and sound effects and shit could be really awesome if he was partnered with the right guy.
Huh. But it has to be with a serious guy because if they're both goofy motherfuckers, it's just chaos. Just all hell breaks loose.
You're probably right.
Just two guys like, ooh.
Like, I just think there's somebody else who he could play off or would
off
make
each
fun
other,
of
it's
him.
It's chaotic in there.
Dude, I don't know.
A couple of those sound effects, man. You can find them on Twitter, like just the him making the noise. And it's like the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen.
Did they have producers in the ear like, yo, you got to chill
Tony,
out a little
please,
bit
please
with that.
Please stop.
Nah, tone it down.
Because he's just watching
Tony's
the replay.
Tony's making like 300 times as much money as the producer who's producing him, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, there's not this guy, but a Marv Albert type who is like dry with his humor.
Okay,
could be really good with. It could be Marv, I guess, but Marv's 100.
What about Gus Johnson?
Gus is a little over the. I don't think Gus is the right guy for him either. I think it's just somebody with like a dry sense of wit. Maybe Kevin Harlan or something like that, who could get excited and is still pretty funny. I don't know.
Nance
just doesn't do
I don't,
it for
dude,
me.
The idea of a Harlan-Romo combo in my head just gave me like a twinge of anxiety. Part of the thing is, I think most people hate most commentators. Like, that's kind of what you do. You hate on the commentators. Like, Reggie Miller is a really good example of one that I can't stop hating him more every time I listen to him, and I don't really know why. A lot of the time it's because he's an idiot. And he's wrong. But
a lot of the time is when he's an idiot.
But it's just like unnecessary how angry he makes me. Like, I need to chill out. Same thing with Romo. It's like there's no reason for me to get as upset as I am about Tony Romo commenting on the game. Like, but I do get that upset.
I felt like he was taking shots at Bortles, so I was offended.
I just wanted him to shut up, man. Especially when I have money on a game and I'm already freaking out, and then Romo's in there making crazy noises and getting off hype.
I think because he's so new, like it's his first year, and he had zero prior experience doing this before, that I tend to like put myself in his seat. I'm like, how would I do what he's doing right now as someone who's never
which
done
is
that
how
before?
You should look at it.
And I'm like, you know what? It's pretty fucking good,
dude. Yeah,
it is. And you know,
you got to give him credit.
He'll get better.
And he's like, name a more famous person to flip into the commentator seat straight out of the field like he has in our lifetime. It hasn't happened, has it?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Not with as much attention anyway. People love to talk about Romo as a commentator. That's why we're doing it. And that's, I think that's part of what pisses me off, is the whole game, he's a giant element of it. Even on Twitter. Like, he's getting probably a third as many tweets as the actual game action. Yeah. It's like talking about Romo in the
booth. Oh, I see people talking about him all the time.
It's bizarre. And I'm part of the problem. I'm just saying. I was just curious what y'all thought about, you know, how he did. That was his last game this season. He's obviously not doing the Super Bowl. That would be weird.
Yeah, I enjoy it, but I could see how some people, it might be much, a little much.
I hope he can, I think he's got the, you know, great qualities that he can build on.
He's fine. But do you like when he calls things out before it happens?
Yes.
I'm like,
oh, fuck, what is he saying and what's happening?
Okay.
It's interesting.
But he does it too often.
It's like, spoilers, dude.
And I would prefer he explain the play to me after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, I love knowing how and why they called a certain play or how the defense read a certain audible or whatever. And he's very good at explaining it in a way that I can understand as a normal motherfucker who has a very limited football knowledge.
He's like, here comes the corner blitz.
But when he's like, oh, shit, he starts like, getting all giddy about like somebody going into motion, and I'm like, God damn it, Tony, just let me watch
the
fucking
game. He's still playing
the
position in his brain, yes. And he's just talking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah, I mean, he gets, like, again, it's just him getting too excited.
He's at the line of scrimmage just calling audibles.
And there's no way that they don't have somebody that's going to help him figure out the best way to utilize his game knowledge. That's what I'm saying. I think it's just we got to give him more time. Because, yeah, it is like spoilers, man. I don't want to know what's going to happen before it happens, Tony. Like, do not tell me which way they're running the ball, dude. It's taken away from it. Anyway, moving on. Belichick, uninterested in the AFC Championship trophy when he's on stage for the little presentation
or
whatever.
Clip.
Him trying to hand it to someone else, just like, I don't want this, was incredible. And apparently he's done this before. I didn't know this was like one of his things.
Like, he had it in his hands less than a second.
It's the most Bill Belichick thing possible. He's saying to the world, this trophy doesn't mean anything. The only one that matters is the Super Bowl. But how cheesy and stupid is this that he doesn't even want to hold it? He's just like, nope, thank you. Okay, someone else take this. I don't want this. Also, him celebrating on the sideline, everybody's joke was like, look at Belichick trying to express human emotion. Seeing him actually happy was the only part of this win for the Patriots that made me happy.
Him hugging Patricia?
Yeah, their awkward man hug. Belichick, like, a guy who clearly doesn't have much experience celebrating, like, giddy after they had locked the game down and we're just going to go into the victory formation. That part made me happy.
This is their last ride. Him, McDaniels, Patricia.
Yeah, aren't all of his assistants going to become head coaches elsewhere? Offensive and defensive coordinators?
Both coordinators. Is there a chance this might be his last rodeo with the Patriots?
Who knows?
You think he retires? If they win, I mean, they beat us.
Bill? He doesn't retire before Brady does.
No way.
Brady's got at least one more year. Probably two.
No way. He strikes me as the type of dude who would probably be around post-Brady to try to prove what he can or can't do without him.
Who retires first, Bill Belichick or Nick Saban?
Belichick.
They're like the same person to me. I don't see a difference between
Belichick.
The two. I just consider them to be one being.
Yeah, I think Saban could probably coach another 20 years. Belichick.
I don't even know how old they are. They're
two
50,
or three.
60?
Oh, they're well into their 60s.
58?
Saban is. Saban's like,
Belichick is 65.
I think Saban's closer to 70-ish, maybe.
Saban is 66.
Yeah. Belichick been 65 for 15 years. I don't know who retires first. I don't care.
There was some smoke that Belichick weren't out. He was fighting with
the
organization. But it was also that he was coveting the Giants job, as was Saban. And now that job's been filled. So
yeah, Pat Shermer.
Coveting the Giants.
Who the hell would say that about Belichick? That's a dumb
that
thing
whole
heard.
Story, that whole thing that unfolded with Kraft and Belichick and Brady, that was so stupid. What was the point of all that?
It was stupid, but I believe it.
I still believe it too.
I still kind of believe
but
there's a little
beef
there.
So who cares?
And also,
that's
I thought
how
it was
works, man. Like, ultra competitive men all working towards the same thing, of course they're going to have some level of like wanting more credit than the other people got or whatever, especially when all three of them, like one is the owner, one is the quarterback, and one is the coach. Those are easily conflicting positions where they all want to be in control. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't see anything weird about it. That doesn't mean they're not going to fucking gut it out knowing that all three of them are the best at what they do in the league and just continue to stack trophies like they are. I don't know. That story just bugged me.
I know, but the wheels are going to fall off already like they did on Peyton Manning. Yeah. Like, at some point, there's just going to be a season where he just drops the
fuck
off.
Oh, yeah. His arm is
sure.
Not,
eventually,
yeah.
Yes.
His arm.
Eventually, that'll your arm strength goes. And there's nothing you can do about that. No. That's Father Time being undefeated. But
doesn't matter how many tomatoes
he's
you don't
not that
eat.
Close. If you saw some of those passes he put in the fucking tiny windows yesterday.
Dude, sometimes that shit just falls off a cliff, though.
That's true. With you Manning, can, it did. Like, one year he just came out and everybody was like,
Well, Manning
what
never
is he
had
doing?
Manning never had a big arm.
No.
He always so kind of threw ducks, yeah.
But no, but there was the difference was disturbing.
Yeah.
But he still managed
he still
to
won
win
a Super Bowl.
So.
He still won a Super Bowl.
But
throwing.
His last Super Bowl, though, he did very little to help that team win. Very little. It was an ugly game.
He's like,
him.
He might as well be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. The defense.
He's still so good. It
well, Brady has to keep playing because they traded both of his backs.
He lost his Jada Osweiler that year, remember? Like midway through the season. And he got it back like for playoffs.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
That was a weird season for them.
The NFL is probably a better place with Tom Brady, whether you like him or don't.
Right.
It won't be as much fun when he's gone.
I enjoy his social media.
It's really conflicting for me because I hate the Patriots. I hate them.
I do. I do too.
I don't like Brady either because because he's a quarterback of the team that I really hate.
He's just a douchebag.
But at the same time, it's so fun watching him do what he does.
See,
just fucking great.
I like,
and it's historic.
I like internet Tom Brady or whoever runs his social media accounts because they're very funny and very good at what they
his
do.
His Instagram is the worst account I've ever seen in my life. No, ever.
I'm going to like him much more when he retires, like as a human being.
However,
I don't know if you will, dude. I really don't. I think this is him.
I don't respect the like weird sports science shit he does.
Oh, that's weird too. Did you see him before the game? He was on this was probably like five minutes before kickoff, and he was like, "Get them off the fucking field" or something like that.
Yeah,
that
camera guy,
yelling
in front
at
of
cameramen
him,
yeah. And shit.
Dude, calm down. We get it. You want to get out there, but dude, chill.
He's
out.
A fucking psycho.
He is a psycho.
I do not think you will like him when he's done with football. I think you'll like him less. I think the only redeeming quality about him is how good he is on the field.
Is he gonna have much of a TV presence? Probably not. He'll just go.
Well,
he
could be like very likable.
Giselle
man.
Will just go.
I don't think he's
thing.
Very likable. I think he'll go in all in on the fucking fitness TB12
shit.
He'll
be like a model guy, like a TV commercial guy. Like Joe Montana is a Skechers guy.
He's also hinted at a career in politics at some point too.
Brady will definitely.
How? He doesn't have the personality.
Brady's gonna sling Uggs. There's gonna be some.
I mean,
Brady
I'm not saying he
Uggs.
Couldn't immediately be elected, like you know, mayor of Boston or whatever, but. I mean, those. I just. We're done with the Pats. Enough. Philly, right, Minnesota. Dan. Let's revel in your victory, Dan.
How you feeling?
And how you feel about your odds against the Pats?
You guys put it on them, Dan.
Yeah.
That was a fucking beating, dude.
Philly fan Dan in full effect took the money line.
Wait, did they go 38 this weekend? Points?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It was 7-0.
38-7?
How horrified were you after the first drive when the Vikings just marched down the field? The Philly fans looked like they were ready to riot.
I was in a very good place.
See, we were just trying to like, I mean, all season we usually teams have early success on our defense, but we kind of like figure it out and Schwartz makes the adjustments. So I wasn't that worried, but it was pretty easy. Like that was as easy as it gets for the
Just
Vikings.
Looking at the crowd, the Philly fans look very on edge. You know how like some fan bases, if something bad happens to them, they cut to the crowd, and the crowd just like sort of like sinks, and they go like emotionless.
That's most
the
people.
The Philly fans, they throw the touchdown. They're fucking like, you can tell they're yelling "fuck you" at the defensive backs, and like yelling, and like they're angry instantly. They were on edge.
They're
so
like
I,
that,
and so I just assumed you were like in
they're
close
like that,
to full meltdown
the,
fan.
The humanized version of the GIF. Oh no, we suck again. Like
I've always heard of you know how volatile and insane these Philly fans are. And I've obviously heard the stories about throwing snowballs at Santa in the,
okay, in the
60s or whatever. Like,
again,
like that has anything to do with anything.
And cheering when Michael Irvin broke his neck.
One of the least offensive things people did in the 60s.
But after watching their fan base in full force yesterday, I get it. these people are fucking nuts.
They're nuts.
They're one of the crazier groups of people, and it's like mostly white people.
No, it's mostly it's a good combination of all, like the entire city. It's white, black, Hispanic. It's everything.
Man, I saw a lot of white people.
What? Well, it's playoff tickets. You got to think.
True.
Yep. I'm just being real.
It's a demographical issue.
Ticket cost. It's whatever class you fall in. However, I do think you guys just don't understand how much Philadelphia sports mean to a person in Philadelphia. Like how much of their self value and worth is invested into these teams. I'm a little bit further removed since I've been out of the city since when I was 18. So
right.
Going on fucking 8 years now.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about guy who's lived in Philly his whole life, works as like a
works 9 to 5, fucking being a plumber or an electrician,
blue collar job.
Yeah. Waterman Dan.
Yeah. Okay. I get that, but that's a lot of cities.
It's not though. The mood and just how everybody is in the city is solely dictated by these teams.
So everybody's been in a bad mood for like 30 years?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, not really. The Eagles have been super successful, especially under the Reid administration. So like we always got our heart broken, and we might get our heart broken in 2 weeks, but
you're there.
We got hope. We got our baby. We got our baby Nick.
I still can't believe how Nicky well Foles played. Unreal.
Our baby boy.
We're watching the clip of the first touchdown.
Video. Yeah, of the first. Micah,
also
touchdown,
feel free to talk into the mic so we don't have dead air.
He's first of all incredible.
Great
celebration
by
the
Vikings.
Yes.
Micah is pointing out the reactions of the Philly fans in the stands behind the end zone where Minnesota scored their first touchdown. Pointing out that they look very upset and worried.
Philly's defense, first of all, look how confused they were. Every DB is like pointing to the other one, yelling shit at each other. Just
yeah, we probably should have called time out there, but
yeah, no. I mean, then you don't give up another point the whole game.
That's the last time they scored.
Made the proper adjustments. Case Keenum turned back into a pumpkin.
Okay, Keenum didn't necessarily turn back into a pumpkin. His offensive line got dominated. Like the first pick he threw, the pick six. There's nothing he can do about that. If somebody gets his hand all over
Chris
his arm
Long.
And chest as he's throwing
Dude,
the ball,
Long
what's he supposed
a hell
to
of
do?
A game.
I mean, and I get that that's part of your awareness as a quarterback is you're supposed to be able to, you know, feel the pocket collapsing and avoid situations where you're going to be throwing the football while somebody's making contact with you. But that one,
I didn't think he played that bad. But yeah,
they got rolled. They're just nothing about that game. The second day after they scored that touchdown, that was it. They never had like a little ray of hope even or sunshine. Nah. It was just Philly just beating their ass.
I mean, as soon as Nick Foles like gets out or is somehow like gets out of the pocket and throws one up to Alshon Jeffrey,
the look on his face, I'm assuming you've seen the freeze frames of him throwing that pass, Foles, he basically has his eyes closed. And like I get that it's all feel once you're a quarterback and you decided to bomb it downfield to somebody who's, you know, 40 yards away or whatever. I mean, you don't need to be looking at them to throw that ball where you've already decided it's going to go. But he looks so scared. Foles has like, he's just kind of like, anyway, perfect pass in stride.
And
it was a beautiful play. Easy six.
And I mean, it was never in doubt from there. It's so nice, I got to say, having like a true number one receiver in Alshon Jeffrey, you just throw it up in his general vicinity and he'll go up and get it.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't really had that since like Terrell Owens.
That's all I've ever known. That's the only thing the Texans have ever had going for them is we've always had a guy you could just throw the fucking ball up to. And we've had to have that guy because we never had a quarterback before. But yeah, it's the greatest thing ever.
It's
like,
awesome.
There's nothing DB, like a cornerback can do against Alshon Jeffrey for the most part. They're
no.
not big enough.
No.
He's just huge. If you put the ball in the right spot, he has an 88% chance of catching it every single fucking time. It's crazy. But he wouldn't, that pass in particular, it's not even like he was battling with somebody. He just burnt the dude.
Yeah, but he had a touchdown later in the game,
right.
too, where
he's ridiculous.
Made an incredible catch.
38 points. 38 unanswered.
Big Dick
Fuck
Nick.
Fuck me. Did Nick, not see that coming.
And Nick just, he's a guy that just rides on his emotions. That's how he plays. Like, if he has, like, the confidence in himself and doesn't get in his own head and doesn't overthink things, he just plays well. But the minute he just starts to, like, criticizes himself in his own
he
head.
Unravels.
That's when he So hopefully he doesn't do that in
well,
the Super Bowl.
I'll say this. I think season long, Minnesota's defense significantly better than the Patriots. So you've got to feel pretty good going into this
Weren't they like historically great statistically?
Who, the Pats D?
No.
Vikings. Yes, Minnesota's defense was, yes. But the Pats open as 5.5-point favorites.
Which, if you grab the line, so you could bet on games before, like, if you picked the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl matchup before the Eagles game, it was +9 Eagles. So that line moved 4.5 points. Or
a line existed before the matchup was even set?
Yeah, you could. There was lines for, like, Jaguars, Eagles, Eagles, Patriots. But you get your money back if that game didn't happen. So you could just, like, take lines beforehand.
I don't think all sports books offer that, though.
Our bookie did.
Wow.
So, shouts to our boy.
But the line opening at 5.5 surprises me.
It's the biggest line since 2009, I think, in a Super Bowl.
Why? Really? Why are they so heavily favored? Based on what?
It's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
It's Belichick.
Fucking Belichick.
Fucking Patriots.
Fucking Patriots, man.
Whatever, man. We'll just keep wearing our
dog
masks.
Which way do you think that line will go?
I think it'll go close.
I have no idea.
Probably closer to 4 or 3.
I could see it sitting right there. Because I don't know which way. Like, right, my gut instinct was like, okay, well, I'm going to bet on the Eagles. Like, I genuinely believe they can win. But the fact that it's 5.5 is terrifying to me. Like, that's where it was set is crazy to me. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I have not made a decision. None of us have. We'll share our, I'm sure Dan has, but we'll share our Super Bowl picks at a later date. If you want to support the podcast, go to manoutfitters.com. We've got a code for you that gets you 15% off any order of $150 or more, including free shipping. That code is Underboy. Type in Underboy at checkout on Man Outfitters. 15% off any order of $150 or more. Free shipping. We've got all kinds of great stuff in the store still for wintertime. Kind of clearing out the old stock.
Spring stuff hitting the shelves too.
Soon. And
I think now.
Now.
Got a
so
ton of
check it out. Manoutfitters.com.
Yeah, spring stuff in.
Do we really?
I think so, man.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, spring 18, new arrivals.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm telling you.
Ooh. Got all kinds of good shit in here. Go on the site. The top banner on the site right now is all the new arrivals for spring 18 that have started to roll in. Use that code Underboy. Get yourself stocked up. Really quickly, in NFL coaching news, the Titans hire Mike Vrabel as their head coach. He was the Texans'
D coordinator.
I didn't even realize he was a D coordinator until like 4 weeks into the season. I thought he was a linebacker coach still. I don't even know what happened to Romeo Crennel. Anyway, doesn't matter. It is odd to me that the Titans made this hire.
Why?
I like Vrabel a lot. Just because he's not really, he doesn't strike me as a head coach type of guy. He's an assistant or a coordinator or a, you know,
trying something new. I mean, instead of bringing in somebody that's already been around the NFL and just like a recycled hire, you just bring in a guy that give him a shot.
Well, I wish Vrabel the best, but I like this hire because I don't want the Titans to be good, and I'm not sure that this was a good hire. Pat Shurmur to the Giants. I don't care.
Bringing that explosive offense from yesterday to the Giants.
Uh-huh. Josh McDaniels to the Colts. And Arizona job still open.
Saw that somebody just got the Arizona job.
Did they really?
Was it Wilkes? Yeah, Steve Wilkes from the Panthers.
Oh. Oh, there you go. All right, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be back to talk NBA, college football, and the UFC and boxing action from the weekend. Hey, this is Ross Bolin, and my new show with producer Micah called The Ross Bolin Podcast is available now on iTunes. Search for The Ross Bolin Podcast, subscribe, check it out. We've got segments like Houston Rap Song of the Week, stuff to Wikipedia when you're high, Animal of the Week, and tons of other random topics. The Ross Bolin Podcast is available on iTunes now. Okay, we're back. In college football news, Dan, you want to explain what's going on here, does?
Yeah, so Malik Young, sophomore corner from the U, Miami, he's like one of the major faces of the turnover chain.
Ooh.
He's always rocking on the sidelines. He had career-ending neck surgery.
Career-ending?
Career-ending. So
no more football. Geez.
Shouts to Malik.
That
when did
sucks.
He injure his neck?
In the bowl game against Wisconsin.
Fuck.
That is unfortunate.
That's too bad.
So that's a pretty big loss for
Shouts
Miami.
Shouts to the Young family.
Shouts to Malik and the Young family. That is unfortunate. There is life after football.
They most likely honor his scholarship, right?
Like I have no idea. I don't know.
Do they have to? Do colleges have to?
I don't know how that works. You would think that they would.
Especially an injury on the field. I got
to take this phone call. Surely there's something to cover guys like this when this type of thing happens.
Scholarships are only one-year commitments, though. So there's nothing contractual. But I don't know.
And then in other college football news, Jalen Hurts followed through on his promise that he'd cut off his dreads if they won the national championship. So he lost both his job and his hair now.
Dude, he looked like a totally different human being without dreads. It's crazy. But props to him for...
It's a good, clean look.
He does look clean. Yeah. And he's going to need it for when he goes and gets a job in the real world.
Or when he transfers.
He's not that good of a quarterback. I guess he could play like Canadian League or something.
Nah, he's going to be a hell of a quarterback in Conference USA at the FAU.
I'm saying as a professional, I don't see him being like an NFL guy.
Probably not.
Not as a quarterback anyway.
Probably not.
But saw that. Clean look with the... Dude, that takes a long time to grow those dreads, man.
Right, and that kind of sucks that he had to cut them and he lost his job in the process.
Yeah. That had to have been the move he was going to make anyway, because if I'm him... And I want to keep the dreads. I tell everybody to suck my dick and I keep the dreads. Like, what are you going to do? You going to shave my head in my sleep? I don't think so.
Then you're not a man of your word, Ross.
Yeah, but I get to keep my hair. I'm a man of my hair, which to me is more important than, you know, my word. And fuck everybody. You just lost your job and then you got to shave your goddamn head? If I was him, I would have told everybody to suck one. In the NBA, the All-Star starters have been named, and we've got this new format this season for the first time ever where the top vote getters are captains of their teams.
So Bron and Steph Curry,
That is correct, and they're going to be picking
schoolyard style.
Yeah, but we don't get to watch
the draft,
right?
Okay, so they just show up on the court and it's like, okay, this guy's on this team, this guy's on that team. That's
which
a little weird.
Kind of eliminate, like, what's the point?
Seems like a missed opportunity.
Wait, what's the format?
There's two captains, the two leading vote getters in each conference. And then they pick the players in their conference. Just
I thought they just get to set, like, the lineup. I didn't know they just get to pick who makes the All-Star.
Yeah, there's no Western or Eastern Conference anymore. It's just,
oh, really?
Yeah, they're just picking players from the available pool.
Which it's a total missed opportunity, though. If we're going to televise picking ping pong balls for the draft, how do you not televise this?
And, well, we don't televise picking the ping pong balls.
Yeah, we do.
Which, no, they only televise the after part, I thought.
The lottery?
No, like, don't they only have the cards? They, like, show
they
you?
They don't actually show. But the question is, are they going to, like, name the order that each guy was picked in so we know who gets picked last and disrespected?
No,
that's bullshit.
That's the whole point. They're
because
not
the NHL
doing it because they don't
this
want people
last
to get
year,
hurt.
And
yeah.
They did the draft live. Like, the guys were on TV and say, I choose you.
And you know what
that's
they do?
That's exciting TV.
You know what the NHL does? They give the guy who gets picked last a car. So it's like...
What?
Yeah, so to cancel out the feeling of being picked last, which, by the way, you're a grown man making millions of dollars. Like,
and you're picked last on the All-Star team.
And you're... Yeah, come on. Like, let's...
Poor guy.
This guy's not going home and crying and needing a sports psychologist. But anyway, they give him a car to offset the fucking bad look that he has to take.
That's tight.
Why the hell can't we just do something like that?
Well, also, the NHL's weird because I think they're doing, like, 3-on-3.
I'd rather watch that than the actual All-Star game.
Yes.
All-Star game is trash.
Well, what they're doing here is they think this new format will give some more competitive edge to the game. It won't.
It might a little bit.
These guys just don't want to get hurt, man.
It's one of the better All-Star games.
We will see how this
plays
out.
Yeah, nobody plays defense, but
yeah, but the last
it's
two or three have been terrible. There's just been no defense at all.
Oh, it's been so bad.
The last two especially have been really, really
bad. It's like 172 to 164.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I respect the move to try to do something. It just feels like the NBA keeps getting close to making things good, like the dunk contest, and then it just fucking falls off the tracks.
But is there a league that has like a really good All-Star game that people actually tune in to watch? I don't think there is.
I would argue that MLB has a pretty good...
MLB has a good... like Home Run Derby's fun to watch, but the actual game, I don't give a shit about it.
Okay, but it's fun.
And they try to make it
the
home game.
It's fun in
the
way that
deal,
it's like
that was
you're seeing all the best players. you get all, it's like relaxed. Like there's something about baseball that having a more fun, casual game is still interesting. Whereas with basketball, when guys are just jacking around and not playing defense and shit, it doesn't come off as cool. It comes off as like, this is a joke.
The NFL's got to be the worst of them all. I don't think anybody
nobody gives a
this.
Fuck.
Oh, you're not excited for Sunday, the Pro Bowl?
That I know is dumb we shit. Say that nobody watches this, but the Pro Bowl gets like higher ratings than any college football game all season.
No, it does
fucking
not.
Fucking nerds watch this.
There's no way.
It's crazy.
Although,
there's no way.
We got to look at some lines for the Pro Bowl. I'd like to get some action in on that.
There's no. I've bet on the Pro Bowl many times.
The Pro Bowl's
I'm not
trash.
Proud of it. I've many times I've bet on it without watching it, and that's pretty. That's one of those red flags where it's like, you have a gambling problem. You're betting on the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl. I will say you get some pretty cool highlights out of the Pro Bowl, like for Instagram, but I'm not trying to watch a whole game.
Do they still do that weird thing where like Michael Irvin is a coach and Deion Sanders is a coach and they pick teams?
Who knows? Who cares?
The Pro Bowl did better ratings than all but six bowl games last year. And it was the highest rated show on television last, and it was down 7%.
But all but six bowl games are trash, though.
I'm not arguing with you.
So,
but there were still
even
7
though the
million
Pro Bowl
viewers.
Has had wildly declining ratings,
7.4 million people watched it last year.
That's
still
shocking.
Still the biggest thing on TV that Sunday.
Well, there's nothing else on TV that Sunday though.
But still, you're feeling that's. I mean, you know what I mean. You're
yeah,
trash day, but you're the top dog.
That does surprise me. I don't watch that shit.
And I get for the players, it's like, yeah, I'll go to Hawaii.
They play at like 75%.
Well, it's not
speed
in Hawaii.
Too.
Oh, it's not?
I think it's in Orlando this year.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why'd I do that?
I would decline that invitation.
I'd go to Hawaii.
Mike,
that's
you
how you
that
get
up
guys to go. Like, oh, by the way, you get a trip to Hawaii
yeah,
out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to be clear, the last year's Pro Bowl did more higher ratings than the baseball championship series. The World Series got a little bit higher, but. It's crazy how many fucking people watch this
yeah,
loser
that's
game.
Goodell like buying Russian bots to get Nielsen ratings. Like, there's no way. Who watches this? Who watches this?
I'll probably watch
Gamblers?
It. Yeah, I definitely want to get some. Like
over the fucking championship series
you'll
in
be,
baseball?
You'll be lying if you say you don't bet this game Sunday.
I mean, I probably will. But again, like, I don't think I'm the normal status quo when it comes to human beings in sports. Like,
nope.
That's not normal to bet on the Pro Bowl. That's fucked up.
The Pro Bowl is in Orlando this year.
Hell yeah.
Orlando.
I think they're kind of like going back and forth.
That makes you want to watch it even less.
Yep. Magical Kingdom.
Well, anyway, the NBA is trying something. We'll see how this works out. But the whole thing is fucking bizarre. I don't know. I don't know how Kenny Smith, one of the guys on Inside the NBA, is interested, most interested to see how this affects the rest of the season, because the NBA, as we know, is a very petty league, and all of the stars are very petty people. It just gets petty. I don't know why. It's just the way it is on the with the NBA. And let's say you're, you know, Russell Westbrook and LeBron passes on you to pick Kevin Durant. Next time the Thunder play the Cavs, Westbrook is going to go so hard at LeBron. And that type of shit is going to happen no matter what. And I'm interested to see how that affects positively or negatively some of these relationships, some of these games that we have the rest of the season. But
I just want like a Hell in the Cell match between the Clippers and the Rockets.
That would be tight. But it's probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
They have most of their teams injured. They got like, what are they going to run? You know, I can't even name three cool guys on their team that are healthy that would fight. Blake Griffin, Lou Williams.
Just Austin Rivers in a suit.
Rivers hurt. He's like a cast on his leg. The Rockets beat the Warriors.
Your backup point guard from last year, Pat Bev.
He's hurt
fight.
Too, man.
He'll still fight though.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with Pat Bev.
He's on the, as Chuck always says, he's on the list.
Okay. When the Clippers and Rockets drama broke out, all the guys on Inside the NBA were like, "Ain't nobody looking for Pat Bev in the locker room." Beverly's half the size of a few of those guys.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I totally disagree. I think this is total bullshit. I would go after Pat Bev if I'm Trevor Ariza. Why are you scared of him? He's so much smaller than you. I don't buy into that.
I don't think being big means anything.
What? Oh, my God. That's the stupidest thing
you've
ever
said. That's why they have weight classes and fighting.
Out of all this silly shit you've said on this show, I don't think being big means anything in fighting.
That's crazy.
Okay. Well, our own accountant, Blake Perdue.
Yes.
Big man is about to fight a much smaller man.
Yes. A UFC fighter.
A UFC fighter.
he's going to die.
One is a trained fighter. The other is an accountant, Dan.
Yeah, that's not the same circumstances as Patrick Beverley versus like Trevor Ariza as an example.
I think Patrick Beverley's been in some scraps.
I totally agree.
Sure, yeah.
I still don't think it matters.
Like, still what, like 6'2", 210
like you
pounds.
Can't tell me LeBron's like, oh man, I don't want it with Patrick Beverley. LeBron's been in far less fights than Patrick Beverley, but LeBron would beat the fuck out of Patrick Beverley.
Yes.
I just don't get that argument.
No, I think LeBron's soft and he would get his ass kicked.
No way. I would put every cent I have.
Just like
on
accountant
LeBron.
Blake has like 100 pounds on this dude and he's still going to get his ass kicked.
Well, yeah.
Well,
that's
Blake,
completely different.
Blake is not the best athlete on the planet. LeBron might be still, even in his old age. The Rockets beat the Warriors. Big game, big weekend for the Rockets to kind of, these nationally televised games, the Rockets in the past few years, even in with some of the better teams they've had, getting higher seeds in the playoffs, allegedly competing for championships, they had a tendency to fold like fucking chairs on national TV and just look like ass. They finally are putting together a string of performances on national TV that are not embarrassing. And they beat the Warriors. Had an all-around good game. It was James Harden's second game back from injury. It just looked, for the first time, like I feel confident that we could win 1.5 games in a 7-game series. It would be my over-under against the Warriors, which is nice. I want somebody to do something to make the Warriors have to earn it if they're going to go back again. And I don't think anybody in the East is capable of doing that. So if you want to see the Warriors at least be challenged, jump on this Rockets bandwagon because we're going to do it. As James Harden says, we're as real as it gets. I didn't even see that quote. The one I saw was they asked him why the win was important and why he ignored his minutes restriction and played more minutes than he was supposed to play. His response was, for our swag.
That's what he said.
Yeah, it was important for our swag.
For the swag, for the culture.
Well said, James.
He's really into the word swag still, but he says it with like C-H, S-C-H-W-A-G.
For our swag.
Yeah. He like, when he's running through the tunnel, he'll yell like, swag.
You used to smoke swag, didn't you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, lots of it. You still do.
No, I don't smoke the bad shit anymore.
Oh, okay. No, he smokes doinks now.
Micah smokes that mid.
Oh, dude. One more NBA. One more NBA highlight. Lakers fan banked in a half-court shot for $100,000.
Cool 100 grand.
Did you see the shot? It was awful.
That's an incredible prize, though, for a half-court shot. Usually it's
grand?
Like... Usually it's like a $10,000 gift card to like Subway or something.
Or $10,000. Yeah.
In Milwaukee, it's like $500.
Yeah, but
and
in LA, it's
$100,000. Because I remember this happened last year. Someone made a half-court shot in Milwaukee or, I don't know, some Oklahoma City. I think it was Oklahoma City.
It was like $20,000 or something.
And, I think it was like literally $5,000.
Or
and then
grand,
somebody made one in the Lakers.
This
someone
guy's,
made a full-court shot from Oklahoma City and won $5,000. And some guy made a half-court shot for the Lakers and made $100,000.
This guy did not do...
Did
the
he do 100K
one hand? Justice with his celebration. No, he kind of heaved it up there, like sort of non-athletically.
Very
he didn't look like he was a black dude. Didn't really look like he probably has played much basketball in his life based on the shot. But he banked it in, and then I don't know if he was just so shocked.
Well,
the celebration
also,
was not a $100,000 celebration to me.
When you're playing basketball and you bank a shot in, you kind of just feel guilty.
Like, dude, if it's for $100,000,
not for
$100,000. You don't care how.
For $100,000,
kind of like, oh, I'm
it's
sorry,
a half court
guys.
Shot, man.
If I make a $100,000 shot from half court in Staples Center, my pants are coming off, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop that.
I agree. They should probably take money away though if you bank the shot in. Just
no,
because
it's
so ugly.
We bank in shots in
half
court. In the game all the time. Half court, you can bank it. You
know, noted
no shame
clown
in that.
Jared Borslow believes that the half court shot is the purest shot in all of basketball, or not the The banking shot is the pure shot in all basketball.
I could not put less stock in someone's opinion about anything regarding the sport of basketball than Jared Borslow.
Yeah.
In what? November, a Philadelphia 76ers fan hit a half-court shot, and he won no prize, but he won everyone in the arena free Chick-fil-A.
What?
Okay, that's...
He didn't get a prize?
He just—he's the guy that got everybody free Chick-fil-A.
I don't understand.
And then this guy gets $100,000 for the same fucking shot.
Ladies love Chick-fil-A, though.
That's just the Laker difference.
Wow. Okay. In the UFC, we had big two title fights on Saturday?
Yes.
I lost. I bet on Ngannou and Volkan for based on name alone.
That's sure.
And we told you Cormier and Stipe.
And they both got the shit kicked out of them.
And Mike has sat here and told us that Ngannou is a bad, bad man.
And then he got pounded.
I also told you to take Stipe.
Yeah, Stipe is the toughest motherfucker in the world.
Ngannou tried to knock this dude out in the first 30 seconds and then was so tired.
Gassed. Stipe just worked him.
Yeah, it's
for
like
five rounds.
He didn't
really
show up.
The first round was about as exciting as a UFC fight gets. Ngannou really pushed the pace.
He emptied the tank.
And Stipe managed to survive.
He emptied the clip.
And then from that point on, and actually after like 1 minute into the second round, Stipe just managed to dominate him, take him to the ground, push him against the cage, and lean on him.
He didn't have anything left.
And
it was over.
Yeah, he gassed out.
Did it go the distance?
It did go the distance, five rounds.
Which I'm mad at myself.
Ngannou was done after 1 minute into the second round.
Really? Oh, by the way, Ngannou was a minus 180 favorite when I placed my bet. So it was $180 to 100, and instead I won zero.
I put 100 on Stipe at plus 162, but if I took him winning by decision, that would have been plus 750, so I would have won like $750.
Which is such a crazy difference.
Because, dude, a five-round UFC fight is so
I know,
rare.
No, the title fights usually... Something goes wrong, they don't go the distance. You know, somebody wears out, gets choked out, knocked out, whatever. But yeah, I still can't believe the odds on that. That sucks.
I still can't get into the sport. I can't do it.
UFC?
You can't do it.
Are you just
it's fun to watch the big
purist,
fights, man?
I'm not even a big boxing guy. The thing I like about UFC, and I explained this before, I think, is that you knock some guy down and then it's the hammer punches when their skull's against the mat. I can't watch that.
We talked about it last week.
It's gruesome.
Yeah.
It's barbaric. Like there's a brain inside
there,
man.
That's the best part.
Does it bring back like memories of you bouncing that kid's head off the tile in high school?
And that was a weird fight too. But no, it doesn't. I don't like to watch brain trauma.
How do you feel about like World War II movies?
I like them.
Oh.
It's totally different.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah, Cormier beat Volkan pretty handily. I didn't pay for this fight, by the way. I just watched the replays.
Oh, you didn't watch on Periscope?
I was too lazy. I had a weird weekend. My mother-in-law and my niece and my sister-in-law were at my house. I didn't really have anywhere to go. I was just kind of trapped.
Sounds like you had an awesome weekend, man.
It wasn't awesome. No, it wasn't. It wasn't awesome. I'll openly admit that. But I did watch the replays of these things. So, yeah, I thought that... Based on his name, you know, I thought Volkan would come out and have a little more for Cormier, but
sure.
he didn't. Just dominated. Lost a lot of money.
Yeah, he'll only lose to John Bones Jones. So.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What is he, 0-2 or 3 against him, against Bones?
I think his only career losses are against him, right?
They're not technically losses, though, because Jones continues to
cheat.
No one cares. No one cares, though.
Well, they're like technically no decisions
because he's a scumbag.
Because he fails drug tests.
As of right now, Cormier's reputation has been sort of like the guy who just couldn't beat Bones Jones.
It's really weird because he's accomplished everything. He went undefeated as a college wrestler. He's a national champion. He's never been beat in the cage by anybody except John Jones, and he can't come close to beating
him. And he's like an MMA TV personality.
He's an ambassador for the sport.
Okay,
he
but
just
is it
wins.
Because
yeah,
he's
but
not
Bones Jones cheats. Every time to win.
Yes.
But he fuck that guy.
But he works Cormier every time he fights him.
Yeah, he cheats.
But does Cormier just not have a big enough personality to, like, capture the... I mean, what is it that he's not getting? Because he really doesn't get that much run. People outside of UFC don't know who Cormier is.
Yeah, he's not a super exciting fighter. He is a wrestler by trade, so he isn't a guy who has highlight knockout stuff. So he doesn't have sort of a wide appeal. And he doesn't look like... He's my buddy, Coach Bobby, who was watching the fights with us, said he was too distracted by his jiggling stomach. And not that Cormier is in bad shape, but he's not like super ripped. Like, so, like Ngannou looks like the scariest guy ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ripped and he looks like Ivan Drago as a cage fighter, like this big bad dude who's. And Cormier doesn't really look that way. He's kind of soft spoken. But he never loses unless he's fighting John Jones. It's just kind of weird.
That's always bugged me, the jiggly stomached UFC guys. It's like, do a fucking crunch one time. What is this? What is this?
Dude, some guys are just genetically just
bigger
people.
I know that.
You can't cut.
You can't tell me it doesn't bother you.
But
it
doesn't bother me. Anyway, Cormier after the fight.
But if you put Jiggly Guy next to a ripped guy, I'm going to pick ripped guy every time.
A lot of the time, ripped guy gets his ass beat.
And a lot of times, tattooed guy versus non-tattooed guy, you always go with tattooed guys.
Gotcha.
I'm sick of ripped guy costing me money.
It's all good. Cormier is 38, so he's winding his career down. There's not really anybody else in light heavyweights that's exciting. So Dana White was pushing for him to move up to heavyweight. Cormier has also had a really hard time making weight his last three or four fights. So they figure, move him up to heavyweight, let him fight Stipe. That's not really a fight I want to see.
Why?
There's not going to be a lot of... It's just not going to be a very exciting fight. They're both guys that rely on their power and their wrestling.
Who would be favored?
I think Stipe would be. Well, I don't know. Maybe Cormier. Stipe weighed in, I think, at like 240 this on Saturday. Ngannou was like 268.
Jeez.
So...
The fight,
but he's still much stronger than that.
How tall is Ngannou?
I think they're both 6'5", 6'6".
Fuck.
Big dudes, like defensive linemen.
Yeah, the fight I think everybody wants to see though is Jon Jones versus Brock Lesnar, where they're both allowed to go on roids.
They need to just juice him up to the gills and let him fight in Russia.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the fight to make.
Yeah, someone's gonna
die. You can't. Insurance won't let them do that.
It's Russia though. They would definitely.
Putin would have to be the promoter. The UFC wouldn't be able to do it, but Putin could do it.
You put shirtless Putin in a cage and make him do the microphone, the hype before the game. I mean, before the fight. My medicine started to hit me. I'm like,
or you're like, you go out on a
I'm
boat.
I'm fading fast, man.
Go out to international waters on a boat and have that fight.
There you go. I'll watch that. Oh God! In boxing, Dallas's Errol Spence Jr. beat the shit out of Lamont Peterson via what he won in the seventh round
TKO.
Via TKO at Barclays.
Peterson did not make. They threw it, the. It looked like the doctor stopped it after seven.
Okay, and Errol Spence Jr. wants a May or June fight versus Canelo in Dallas. That is what he has requested. See if it happens.
I would love to see it.
Personally, not a boxing guy, you know.
He's a Dallas boy, though, right?
But whatever, yeah, he is.
Errol Spence from South Dallas. He's a bad man. He's an on-it athlete. I'd love to have him on this podcast. So, Errol, if your people get with me.
Fuck yeah, let's get him in here.
Fuck yeah, Errol Spence Jr.
He's a great guy. Very, humble, nice. He's the anti-Mayweather is what people are saying.
Mm, well,
I already like him.
Interesting.
And he is kicking ass right now.
Well, good for Errol Spence Jr. You love to see a Texas guy succeed, you know?
You sure do.
Hey, we've got a hotline. You can call it at 800-392-6344. We play the best calls on the hotline every Thursday on our Thursday podcast. You can ask a question, leave a take, whatever, you know, suggestion on something you want us to talk about. 800-392-6344. That's the Backdoor Cover hotline. Thank you for listening today. That is it. Shouts. Do we have any shouts? Shouts to Nick Foles, freak.
Shouts to our baby boy, Nicky Foles.
I'm not calling him that. It's your baby boy.
You call him Big Dick Nick.
Shouts to that dude in Philly who was sprinting down the train track and ran into that pole.
Shouts to his hospital bill.
Shouts to my city for nobody getting arrested. We didn't discuss that.
How?
I think it was just the cops like, let's let the kids play,
let the boys play.
I saw many, many photos. I saw the picture of like two cops.
They're hanging
on
streetlights. I saw...
Shit was on fire.
People were stomping cars in and stuff. It's Philly, man.
The guy with the fucking dune buggy who drove up the rocky steps in front of the museum.
That was so incredible.
That guy didn't get arrested? That's incredible.
No one.
I don't believe this statistic. I think Philly put out fake news. There's no way people were not arrested. I saw multiple cops on horses like kicking people in the head and shit. There was legit fights going on. Stuff was on fire. I saw a tweet that said the fires have started, and it was just video footage of like the city on fire. How the fuck did nobody get arrested for lighting the city on fire?
When did this type of celebration begin, by the way? Oh, our team is successful. Let's destroy our city.
This is like caveman shit from back with the first.
Has it always been this way? Or is it like...
Yeah. This is what we know.
When the
Montreal
Canadiens...
Let's destroy our city.
Yeah. When they won a playoff series.
Do you see the bus, the Vikings, after the game, they're leaving town, or they're trying to anyway, and they were just getting pelted with full beer cans and... People were just yelling the worst things imaginable at him.
We were very courteous like host, like all these Viking fans that were coming
that's
up.
Ridiculous.
We would lob up beers to them, be like, "Hey, have a beer."
You couldn't pay me. To, you couldn't pay me to go to a football game in Philadelphia as an opposing fan.
Okay.
You couldn't do it.
I got
to
say this: you got to know better.
For my life.
You got to know better if you're a Vikings fan than to roll into that stadium in a. In, if you're not going to roll deep, a lot of the people I saw getting beers thrown at them, it was like, you know,
they were lobbed at them. It was a very gesture. Here's a free
it's
beer.
A full beer.
It's
coming
a full
at your
beer
head,
can.
Unaware. These people were asking for it, though. What are you doing? You know where you're going.
Are you asking for it, or are you just supporting your team at an opposing stadium?
Well, you know what? If I'm a Vikings fan going to watch the Vikings play in Philly, I'm wearing a fucking Nick Foles jersey in disguise.
Minnesota,
stay safe.
Minnesota news stations were actually advising and warning Minnesotians that were going to the game. They called Philadelphia Eagles fans gang members.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them are. You know? And that being said, I'm not saying it's okay or that Philly gets a pass. These people are nuts. You just have to know what you're getting into. If you choose to go into the city of Philadelphia as a Vikings fan and try to enjoy yourself at one of these games,
they
you
also,
better be incognito, man.
They also decorated the Rocky statue. So that was
ballsy.
That was declaring war on us.
Oh, I didn't see that.
With the Viking, like a Vikings.
That's a mistake.
Jersey.
At least they didn't like deface it. They just put stuff on it. You know,
Vikings gear on them.
That's just kind of funny. Anyway,
but and then we,
zero arrest my ass.
Zero arrest, and we pretty much hijacked the skull chant. It's now the Foles chant.
That was rude.
We skull cucked him.
Yeah, I liked your tweet. That was a good joke. But the rude stealing their tradition. I don't have
Foles.
Any more shouts. Go to manoutfitters.com. Use the code UNDERBOY. Get 15% off that order of over 150 or more, including free shipping. Check out all the new Spring 18 stuff we've got in stock now on manoutfitters.com. If you have not already, please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review for Backdoor Cover. We would appreciate it very much. And subscribe to the show, obviously. Tell everybody else you know who loves sports to come check out Backdoor Cover. Follow us on Twitter, at Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross. You can follow me on all social media at WR Bolin, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. Dan, where can you be followed?
Dan_Regester on Twitter and Dan Regester on Snapchat and Instagram.
What about you, Delone?
At D Chivery on Instagram and Twitter, CHEVERERE.
I'm also going to plug my new show, the Ross Bolin Podcast. Check that out. Subscribe to it on iTunes. We've got a lot of fun random stuff on that show, stuff to Wikipedia when you're high, Animal of the Week, which, as we know on here, we talk about animals sometimes on Backdoor Cover.
Just talk about your dog.
I did. My dog was the most recent Animal of the Week, Bruce, one of my dogs. What else? Like, crazy Wikipedia serial killers you probably never heard of. The Ross Bolin Podcast on iTunes. Subscribe, check it out. Dan, you guys had a great episode of Subs Dog on Grand X Labs this week.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell people about where they can check that out?
You can check it out at Grand X Labs on SoundCloud and iTunes and on social media at SUPPSDAWG on
Subs
Dog Twitter.
Is the show. Check it out. Dylan, what about you guys on Touching Base? You got anything fun going on?
It's just business as usual there. We have a lot of fun. Check it out. It's me, Dave, and Will. We pretty much just talk about, we just bullshit for an hour, and it's pretty funny.
Bunch of bullshitters, you
give
three.
Give it a listen. Mike, we have anything coming up, do we, on there? No?
You talk about The Bachelor.
You talk Bachelor a little bit for like 20, 30 minutes every other episode.
What else you talk about?
Just all kinds of fun
like
shit.
Just cranking
man.
It?
No, we don't talk about cranking it too much.
Well, check out Touching Base with Postgrad Problems on iTunes as well. Great podcast, huge following, weird hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back on Thursday. This has been Backdoor Cover. We appreciate y'all listening.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.